The county's number one talk show, the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio.
And you're very welcome back to hour two of the 9 till noon show. It's Donal Kavanagh with you until 12 noon today. Just a few of your comments before we go any further. Caller says the road from Raphoe to Convoy, there's a drop of 300 to 400 feet and no barrier at all. Never mind the surface, it's horrible. Outside the new Donegal Training Centre, another accident waiting to happen. Can no one see this? So says a caller earlier. We referenced in our newspaper review, courtesy of Kelly's Centre at the Mountain Top in Letterkenny, we referenced that Prince William was also in the same photo as Prince Harry, along with P. Diddy and somebody else. But the British press edited him out. And another caller as well saying too that, Will, if Harry is associated with P. Diddy on the basis of a photograph, then so too is William. But then again, I think the narrative at the moment appears to be by and large that Harry is the evil one and William isn't. And that's the way things appear to be. Caller says, will the government have to run a referendum to allow the EU asylum pact in accordance with the Lisbon Treaty and Article 61 of the Constitution? I am not aware of any referendum being required along those lines. I do know there's been talk of a referendum. They're even talking about having it on the same day as the local and European elections, which is June 7th. And they were talking about that because Ireland is going to participate in an international patents court, and because it has a judicial element and a court element to it, then it will require a referendum to change the constitution to allow that to happen. So now that's supposed to happen in June. Now I don't know, I've not heard if that's actually gone through yet or even if that could be deferred, but Ireland is signing up to an international patents court, which on the face of it would seem to be in everybody's interests, and that will require a change to the constitution, a very technical change it would appear. But if that's going to happen, I do not know. Have you had a smart meter installed in your home yet? And if so, how's it been performing? Because we've had a comment from a caller asking, I was speaking with friends and family over the weekend. They were all complaining about increases in their electricity bills since they got smart meters. They were supposed to be more cost effective. Instead, bills that were around €200 jumped to €600 to €800. My brother-in-law said he didn't use a lot of electricity. Bill was always under 200. But as soon as he got the smart meter in, it went up to €590. He had it removed. It went back down to 190. Be interesting to hear listeners' experiences. It would indeed. Now, a caller asking, is there a Relay for Life meeting in the Mount Errigal Hotel this year? Now, there has been a team captains meeting already, and there will be at least one more team captains meeting in the coming week. So if you're involved in a team, then your team captain will certainly be invited to that meeting. And I don't see why you shouldn't go along to the meeting with your team captain. But the meetings taking place, as I understand it, are intended for team captains and their briefings ahead of what's going to happen at the end of May. So if you're on a team, liaise with your captain, and certainly there'll be an invitation coming to a team captains meeting in the coming weeks. Now, New Mills has had issues with water over many, many years, sadly. And caller says, in relation to no water in New Mills, we live in Tullygay. We, along with our neighbours, have had little or no water since Friday. We reported it to Ishke Éireann. No one seems to be able to give us a reason why it's off so long and when it'll be on again. We've had ongoing issues for a long time with water. We contacted Donegal County Council. Everyone seems to be passing the buck. Councillor Donald Kelly is trying to assist us to get answers, and we're very appreciative of his help. Another caller says, I live in New Mills and I'm sick of having no water. It really annoys me to see more and more people getting planning permission while we have so many water issues. And indeed, I've spoken to Councillor Donald Mandy Kelly, as have Michaela and Donna Marie and others over the years, about the need for water. And in fairness, it's something that he's been campaigning on for a long, long time. Caller asks, what's the story with school dentists? My child is in sixth class and has never seen one. And we know there are issues with the dental services. And again, it's one of those, and we referenced it earlier in relation to the respite and day services in Carndonagh, where some services that were scaled back over COVID haven't quite got back to where they used to be. Another caller says, I drive the Garton Glenvay Road on a regular basis. This week, there's a load of tyres dumped on the side of the road between Garton and Glenvay. They weren't there last week. Why would someone do this? And is there anyone I can contact to get them lifted? I suppose really Donegal County Council would be your first port of call in terms of trying to get that organised. It may well be that the council is aware of it. It may be that they're there by arrangement, and some arrangement has been made to get rid of them, whether it's a matter of illegal dumping or it's a matter of untidy storage. I suppose, you know, it's all in the eye of the beholder. But if your first port of call, I suppose, really would be Donegal County Council in terms of just seeing what the situation is there. Now, before we go for a break and the bingo numbers, I just want to remind you of the iMotors Easter Egg Hunt, because Lee did the readout before, just after 8 o'clock, as is normal, but the Easter egg hasn't been found. So we're going to give you a clue as to where the golden egg is hidden and details on how you may win a nice prize. And it goes like this. iMotors want you to get out and about on their Easter egg competition. All this week we're giving you clues as to where the iMotors team are travelling to on their Easter egg competition. To begin with a chance of winning a €500 Ryanair voucher, all you have to do is send an image of the golden egg or a selfie with the golden egg to our WhatsApp on 086 60 25000. The person who finds the egg will be entered into the draw at the end of the week. Four lucky people will win a minimum of a €100 one for all voucher. One person will win a €500 Ryanair voucher. And we're giving you a clue as to where the egg is today. And if you're in the north in the Shone area, then it's pretty close to you, because today the iMotors team travelled in a Kia Sportage to Moville, and the golden egg is somewhere along the shore very close to the park. All you have to do is find the egg and send an image as quickly as you can. Hurry, there is only one egg there. So if you're in the Moville area and you fancy being in with a chance to win either a €100 one for all voucher or indeed that €500 Ryanair voucher, find the egg. It's in Moville, somewhere close to the park along the shore, and get a picture of the egg or a selfie with it. This is the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio. We're going to go to line one, and we're going to London to speak to Anne, who is a bus driver in London and has been for 35 years driving double-deckers around London. Anne, a very good morning to you.
Good morning.
Now, the reason we're ringing Anne isn't to speak about double-decker buses in London, although having lived there for a couple of years way back in the 80s, I could have a nice hour conversation about some of my favourite routes, the 58s, the 158s and the 38s over in East London, but we'll put those to one side, because you were on a journey from Letterkenny to Dublin to return to London after a break last week, and your experience with the bus area and expressway service was less than what we would have hoped.
Well, what happened was, I came via Dublin from Heathrow on the 14th of March. When we arrived in Dublin, my niece, who lives in around Letterkenny, booked me the tickets for the 1:20 coach leaving Dublin, because she didn't think with my flight that I would make it on time. So I actually did make the 10:11 coach, but that coach didn't turn up until 12:15, which then was a private coach, which was only going to Monaghan. So I asked the driver if I could get on that coach, and the driver said yes. The driver was very apologetic, very helpful, because the driver didn't know if there was going to be a coach waiting for us to take us from Monaghan to Letterkenny. It so happened there was, and that wasn't too bad. I would like to say that that driver was an excellent driver, would put me to shame. Very good driver and very helpful. I was supposed to return back on the following Tuesday on the 9:20 coach. That coach was cancelled in Letterkenny through to a defect on the coach. The person came out who worked behind the counter, was totally unhelpful, gave very little information. I'm sorry, you have no coach. You have to get on the next coach at 10:20. So I phoned my niece, and my flight was at 3:30 from Dublin. So I phoned my niece, and my niece was furious. Then the second coach didn't turn up. So that didn't turn up until 10:11, and that was a private coach. And he was very apologetic, and he said, I will not get you into Dublin on time, so I missed my flight.
Can I just stop you there? I'm very sorry, Anne. I just wanted, for my own I just want to clarify, when you say a private coach, are you saying a private service or a private coach which has been contracted by Bus Éireann to run the service on their behalf? Because there are private companies that do the same run. But it came into the bus station in Letterkenny. It did come into the bus station. Right, so in that case... No, and the reason I say that is that there are a number of private coach companies that... you know, do that run, which are independent of and in competition with Expressway and Bus Éireann. So when you say a private coach, we can presume then it's been contracted by Bus Éireann to operate their service on their behalf.
I would have presumed that.
I just wanted to clarify
all
that.
All the people that were waiting got on that coach, and he said, look, he said, I can take you to Dublin. He was ever so apologetic. He said, but you will miss your flight. But he said, I'm happy to bring you into the city and try and help you out. Well, I nearly burst into tears because I haven't been to Dublin for nearly 40 years. So I used to be in Dublin quite a bit. So I phoned my niece. My niece was furious. Actually, she phoned Highland Radio. But she is a manager and she didn't have time to go on air to speak to you. So then what happened was, I phoned Aer Lingus, and Aer Lingus couldn't be more helpful to me, explained the situation. And actually, I've got an old Irish phone that kept cutting out, and the Aer Lingus lady kept calling me back. And she said, I'm going to try and do the best I can for you. Otherwise, it would have cost me another €300. So I ended up only paying 74 euros to change my flight. The same flight for the Wednesday. We got in, got on the coach at 7:20 in the morning. The driver never got off her mobile phone on Bluetooth from Letterkenny to Dublin. I actually recorded it on my phone. She was laughing and joking, bursting into fits of laughter, and I didn't say anything. I didn't really know what to think. The people at the back of the coach wouldn't have actually heard her on the phone. And then when we got to Monaghan, which should have been a break of 10 minutes, the driver's attitude was 5 minutes back on the coach. So you didn't have time to go to the toilet. You didn't have time to get a drink. I was petrified in case that the coach would drive off without me and I'd miss my flight again. And that driver, when the driver took off, got back on our Bluetooth, and then a young Donegal man got on at one of the stops, and the driver knew this man, and it was like they were having a conversation standing at a bar in a pub, laughing and joking. When I got to Dublin, I got out and I said to the driver, your driving was very good, but you've broken every rule in the book. Because I said, I am a London bus driver and I know the rules. I don't know. I phoned Bus Éireann. I've made a complaint. They've given me a reference number, but I've heard nothing from them since. I am absolutely cannot believe what I've seen on that coach. And I've recorded, I would say, a good 60% of it. I was petrified in case I wouldn't get back to see my grandkids or my family.
Were both the driver's hands on the wheel?
Not all the time.
Yeah.
No, not all the time. And the driver would put their hand over across the steering wheel to where they have the mobile phone and fit it. What I don't understand is, there were several buses on the Tuesday going to Derry. Now, I know the people from Letterkenny want to get in to Derry. I fully appreciate that. But surely it would have been more appropriate for a controller to say, right, we'll take one of the Derry buses off and put it on the Dublin bus. But yeah. No. And the lack of communication. And then, would you believe it or not, I had to pay for a new ticket.
Yeah, I do know that bus that goes from Letterkenny, the expressway bus that goes from Letterkenny to Derry, originates in either Galway or Sligo, and it's a Galway-Derry service or a Sligo-Derry service.
Oh, so, I'm with you.
Yeah, it is actually, Letterkenny in this instance is just a stop. It's either Sligo-Derry or Galway-Derry, so from that point of view, it isn't as though those buses are originating in Letterkenny. They are part of a longer service.
I mean, I listened to your show this morning, and I heard about the beautiful mother and two children gone. A family has to be told, grandparents have to be told because of a lorry. Now, we don't know what happened, but it takes a split second, a split second, and we could have been all killed.
You've spoken to Bus Éireann and you've raised your concerns with them.
Yes, I have.
Are you satisfied with the response you've had officially from Bus Éireann?
I've had no response off them whatsoever. I haven't even asked for my money back. I couldn't care less at the moment about the money. What I care about is people's lives. People's lives with a driver that had no consideration whatsoever for the passengers. That's what concerns me.
Yeah.
And hopefully, please God, hopefully, anyone that's listening today, please, when you get on a coach from Letterkenny and they are on their mobile phone...
Well, I think in fairness, I mean, I think, you know, and anyone, and I don't want to... You know, and I would be very loath to say anything that might seem to impugn one particular driver. For instance, we've had a comment in, Paul in Ballybofey says, I always use this service. It's just fantastic. It's Dublin Airport. Absolutely no complaints from me. Now, I mean, and I understand where you're coming from. And I really do. But I'm very conscious of making any assumptions about somebody's intentions or somebody's concentration or anything like that, and I certainly wouldn't want to impugn any driver or impugn anyone or in question their professionalism.
You can't tower every... I'm not the perfect driver myself.
Yeah.
You can't tower every driver with the same brush. And the driver from Dublin down to Monaghan was excellent driver. Absolutely excellent driver. There was no conversations, there was no talking, there was nothing. Absolutely excellent driver. You can't hire every driver, and that's not what I'm doing.
Of course.
That's not what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Because and the driver from Monaghan to Letterkenny was very good service. But two buses missing on the one day for people, three people missed their flights that day.
Sadly, we have had, and I'm sorry to tell you that. I mean, you know, you're by no means the first person to contact the show to tell us that you've missed a flight because buses either didn't run or buses didn't show up. And sadly, it's also a feature on the route from sort of South Donegal that goes via Enniskillen and down to Dublin that way as well. There's been buses not turn up and flights missed as a result. And sadly, it's a story that we hear all too often. Certainly on your concerns in terms of, I mean, you know, and it would, and hopefully you will get a response from Bus Éireann and they'll be able to just let you know in terms of, I mean, do they have protocols? Because, I mean, by and large, I mean, I know a lot of people use Bluetooth. Look, I use Bluetooth myself sometimes in the car. I would never hold a mobile phone to my ear while driving.
Apparent.
But, you know, I will use either Bluetooth or my car plugs into the... My phone plugs into the car via Android Auto and, you know, I may do calls remotely like that, but...
That's different.
I mean, certainly, well, I mean, it's as long as the two wheels, the two hands are on
you're
the wheel.
You're driving your car.
Yeah.
Our hand, the driver's hand was not always on the wheel. And having a conversation, if you were standing in the pub, having a drink and bursting into fits of laughter... In my opinion,
in fairness, if I'm driving my car and I'm having a conversation with someone sitting beside me, there can be a lot of conversation and a lot of laughter as well. But certainly, your perception is that the standards you would be expected to uphold driving a bus in London, you felt not on all occasions were observed in this instance.
If if we used a mobile phone or even picked it up on our hand in the cab of our bus, we would be suspended immediately and sacked.
Yeah.
That is company policy.
Yeah.
We are driving a public service vehicle.
Yeah.
We have passengers. Buzz Aaron is no different. They are driving. They are putting coaches on. They are driving a public service vehicle with passengers on.
Yeah.
That shouldn't be. Yeah. They should not be allowed. But my son says, yes, they are. The coaches are allowed to use Bluetooth.
Yeah.
That, when I asked the question at Buzz Aaron, I said, what is your company policy? The question wasn't answered.
Yeah. Well, hopefully you will get a response from Buzz Aaron, and hopefully it'll be a response that at least answers some of your questions in the meantime. And thanks for making contact with us. And as I say, sadly, you're not the first person to contact the show after missing a plane because of buses. And I fear you won't be the last. But and thank you very much indeed.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
That's Anne speaking to us there about her experience. And, you know, we have heard so many stories about flights being missed. Now, I want to tell you about National Joe Day. On National Joe Day, everyone is, which is March 27th, which he looks at his computer and verifies, yes, indeed, is today. Today is National Joe Day, and you're invited to enjoy a cup of Joe with all your friends named Joe, Joe with no E, Joey, Joseph and Josephine. While you're at it, don't forget Joette, Jody, Joanna, Jody or any other variant of the name Joe. If you don't know it, you could create quite a few nicknames from this one name because today is National Joe. In fact, I'm looking through the windows and I can see Joe just over there at the mixing desk in the production studio making adverts. So, yeah, indeed, I do have a Joe and there's another Joe upstairs selling the adverts. So, yeah, there's two Joes to choose from here. So if you want a Joe, and Joe, by the way, is coffee. I've no idea why, but a cup of Joe is a cup of coffee, apparently. I think it's a New York thing. Quite where it came from, I've no idea. There's probably a big coffee shop in New York or a coffee brand in New York called Joe something or other, and a cup of Joe became the nickname and it caught, and no doubt through something like Seinfeld or Friends or something, I don't know. I'm not totally up on my popular culture.
Watch the show live now on YouTube, Facebook and at highlandradio.com.
And you can contact us on 086 60 25000 with text or WhatsApp messages. You can call us on 074 91 25000. Donna Marie and Shannon both taking your calls. If you're outside the dialing area, it's 00353 74 91 25000. We're Highland Hub on Facebook. We're at Highland Radio on X. And we're all over other social media channels as well. Joined on the line by Anne Sweeney, a name I'm sure you'll recognise. Anne has run for political office in Donegal before and will be an independent candidate for the upcoming local elections in, I presume, the Glenties electoral area, Anne?
Yes, the Glenties electoral area, Donal.
Yeah. Anne Sweeney, and Anne, you're particularly with us this morning to talk about the housing crisis and your belief that the government must take action now to minimise the buying up of new houses by vulture funds.
Absolutely. Now, the situation is that 30 million per month is spent by the vulture fund buying up what they call non-household homes, which means that they're buying them up for, they're actually competing with first-time home buyers or any home buyers in order for these homes to be then rented very often back to the government at exorbitant prices. And it's not as if the problem can't be solved. It can be solved at the stroke of a pen because they did it in the UK in the 70s and it's called municipalising accommodation. They've also done it recently in Canada for the same reason. But at the moment, 25% of all houses coming on the market are bought by what they call cuckoo funds. And the sad thing is that the cuckoo funds are guaranteed an exorbitant return on their investment because the government actually rents or supports the rent of these houses for people who have to have them but can't afford €3,000 a month rent.
Is it your belief then that either consciously or unconsciously the government is actually encouraging the buying up of new homes by these funds to the detriment of potential first-time buyers who are priced out of the market?
Oh, I think it's actually government policy. And it's government policy because, of course, the builders like it and they're guaranteed a whole load of houses to be bought in one fell swoop. If we take the Belcamp situation that was the most recent one, now they've actually passed laws saying they're going to stop it, but there was 56 houses built in Belcamp in Dublin, and 46 of them were bought within the last year by a cuckoo fund. Now, the investors are guaranteed their return, but the government has said they've brought in the policy, but not yet. So if you take it that lobbyists will be continuously working with the Department of Finance and the government to make sure that American investment funds come in and buy property here, then of course it's a strategy. So what I would be saying is the stroke of a pen, the government can solve it. And how they solved it in the UK was they brought in rent controls, they brought in secure tenancies, they brought in state purchase, they developed a fund where local councils were able to buy all these houses that landlords now wanted rid of because they weren't getting the same return on them or the same gouging from that they were doing to the tenants. And the controlled interest rates and the organised preferential lending so that people who were actually going to live in the houses could get mortgages at a better rate. Now, the term is municipalising, and The Guardian done a fabulous article on it recently, but it was something that happened in the UK in the 70s. And while they keep saying, we don't have enough homes, we must build enough homes, the argument there was that that actually wasn't the case at all. The actual case was that we had plenty of homes, but people couldn't afford to live in them.
One of the points one of the points you're making is that everything is centralised in Dublin, which means that policy is geared in a Dublin-centric way. Now, things in Donegal don't necessarily operate in the same way as things in Clondalkin or things in Finglas. And one of your beliefs is that there should be local budgets either at regional or county level, and the Donegal County Council or a regional body specifically in the Northwest should have a lot more power over housing policy.
Well, over housing policy, but also over lots of policies. If you take it that we have a party whip system, so that if you were to vote for me, as opposed to voting for, much as I don't really particularly like saying this, Piers Doherty, then Sinn Féin or Fianna Fáil or Fine Gael or the Greens, they have a central set of policymakers and everybody has to toe the party line. So if you agree with all their policies, that's fine. But if you step out of line and don't do what you're told, then you are put out into the cold. Or as we've seen with the Labour Party in England, Jeremy Corbyn, who'd been with them for 60 years, has been actually banished for life, I think. But the point that I'm making is that we need a more direct democracy where decisions that affect our area are the people don't want to vote. 50% of people in Donegal don't vote because it's not even relevant to them. But if it was relevant about how your housing was going to work out or how your laneway was going to work out, or how your area was going to be policed, it would make a very big difference if you had a say in it. The problem we have now is we can't see the connection between voting and the outcome, because the decision then is taken by a set of spin doctors in Dublin in relation to everything. So if we take the situation in Ballymacool where those houses and those people are going to be evicted, I mean, the government can sort it. I mean, you can't blame the developer because he is working within the framework that he's allowed to work in. You can't blame the tenants. What you have to ask is where does the power lie? And the power lies in Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael and the Greens, who could sort this in 5 minutes. So they need to control the rents. They need to make sure people's tenancies are secure. They need to purchase, state purchase. But we don't want state purchase where the developer is forcing the council to buy those houses at an exorbitant price just because he wants the cash to build 52 more. I mean, that's quite disgraceful. So, and then the interest rates, you know, whenever we joined the euro, one of the conditions of the countries that joined the euro was that all their printing presses had to be demolished. I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Because that means you have no mechanism ever in theory to go back to your own currency and to make your own decisions. So all these decisions are being made by banks, and the European Central Bank is actually not an elected body.
Yeah, to take it back to the housing, and I think we're slightly straying now at this point. But I want to take it back before I let you go on. I want to take it back to the housing issue. It is your belief that this coming local and European election campaign, and what in the next year or so will be a general election campaign, be it in the autumn or be it early in 2025, and the smart money appears to be on late October, early November this year, you believe housing is going to be the key topic of conversation and the key topic of campaigning?
I think that housing is the key topic, because if people can have affordable housing, they can have more disposable income, they can have a far better standard of living, and they're a much happier society. Yeah. I think that the people in Fine Gael and Fine Foyle, which I can't see any difference in, have lost the connection with the real issues on the ground. And it's because we have these political dynasties, so there's no change of thinking. So you have the same type of people making the decisions all the time. So, you know, really, it's a good news story if people get up and say, hang on here, why are you telling me this can't be solved? Or we will solve it, but not yet. And that is actually what Fianna Fáil are saying, and what the housing minister is saying. Oh, we've changed the law, but not yet. So that's no good to people on the ground.
Yeah.
This needs to be sorted, and sorted right away.
Anne, thanks very much indeed for your perception. We'll be speaking of, I'm sure, in the coming weeks as we get closer to polling day. But for now, Anne Sweeney, thank you very much indeed. It's the 9 till noon show. It's 12 minutes to 11. We'll take a short break. I have a confession to make. When I was 10, 11 and 12, I tried to play pool, and I was bloody awful at it. Young Jack Dehan McVeigh, who joins me in studio, turned 11 yesterday. Jack, a very happy birthday to you. Nice and loud there, Jack. Happy birthday, Jack.
Thank you.
You're very welcome, Jack. You turned 11 yesterday, Jack. Can you play pool?
Yeah.
Yeah. In fact, you're so good at pool. Are you perhaps a national champion at it?
Yep.
Yeah. You were in Navan on Sunday. Tell us what happened in Navan.
I won the under-12s.
You won the under-12s. And let's say this, by the way. When you won it, what age were you?
10.
You were 10 when you won it. Turned 11 yesterday. So at the age of 10, you won the under-12 Ireland Pool Association final in Navan. Congratulations. You had a cavalcade yesterday, I believe, from the Dry Arch through Letterkenny.
Yeah.
A cavalcade. Do you know who the last people I saw get a cavalcade in Donegal were? Jim McGuinness and the team in 2012. I haven't seen a cavalcade since then, you know. Now, St. Julian's have little cavalcades whenever they win cups and things, but they don't really count. But you were hailed in Letterkenny as a hero. Jack, when did you start playing pool?
A year ago on Saturday.
Oh, no, hang on. Whoa. I'm not having this. I tried to play pool for about 5 years when I was younger, and I was woeful. You're telling me you took up pool a year ago and you're now a national champion?
Yeah.
Have you a pool table at home, or where do you play?
The CYMS, then I have a table at my dad's house.
Oh, there's a table at dad's house. And you play in CYMS as well?
Yeah.
And did you just start playing and realise you were good at it, or did you decide, right, I'm really going to practice this?
Really practice.
You really practice. And how hard do you practice?
A lot.
Right. Give us an idea of the hours, because this is where we talk about this. Oh, he's brilliant at pool. I'm great at pool. How often do you play pool? Twice a week. How often do you play pool?
Maybe like 6 hours a week.
6 hours. You're playing pool and practicing for 6 hours a week. And are you just playing games, or are you actually practicing setting up hard shots and figuring out where to put the ball?
Both.
Now, one of the things I've noticed when I watch snooker especially, but other games as well, is putting the ball in the pocket's only half of it. The real skill isn't putting the coloured ball into the pocket. Am I right in saying the real skill is figuring out how you're going to put the white ball where you want to put it for the next shot?
Yeah.
And is that part of it in pool?
Yeah.
And, you know, you really, now... The rules are, you've got sort of, how many balls is it? Is it 10, 12 balls on the table?
15.
Oh, 15. And you've got the white, then you've got 7 that are fully coloured and 7 that are sort of white with stripes, isn't it?
That's Reds and yellows now.
Oh, it's reds and yellows now. Oh, Lord. Keep up, Donald. Keep up, Donald. So it's reds and yellows now. It used to be colours and stripes when I was...
Well, American, they would call that.
Yeah, I'm probably showing my age now at this stage. And it used to be basically, whatever you potted first, you had to pot the rest of them, then pot the black. Is that still the rule?
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Pretty much.
And when I played with my mates who were slightly better than me, but not much, basically a game would take you about 10 minutes. I've seen games on TV where a person goes up, hits the balls, gets about three of them in the first shot, and then pots the rest, pots the black, and the game takes about 38 seconds. And that seems to happen a lot. How often do you get up to the table and just pot all the balls and then sit down again?
In my quarterfinal, I was 2-0 up in a race to 3, and then I broke and just cleared them all up.
Yeah?
So a bit, yeah.
So you broke, you potted one, you potted the rest, and your poor opponent sat on a seat and watched.
Yeah.
And was it a best of three?
Yeah.
First of three. I mean, wow, that's amazing. But that just didn't happen. I mean, as you say, you're playing 6 hours a week, you're practicing quite a lot at home and so on, and in CYMS as well. So, you know, you're obviously doing really, really well. I've a message in from Tracy McVeigh saying, good man, Jack. Tracy McVeigh, is Tracy McVeigh someone you know?
My auntie.
Your auntie. Well, thanks, Auntie Tracy. Other caller, amazing. Another caller says, it's great to see a young man taking such an interest in pool. He'll be a pro yet. Can you become a pro pool player? I presume you can.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, maybe it's a little bit early to be thinking about becoming pro just yet. But, I mean, are you looking and thinking, hang on a tick now, I'm good at this. I could start earning a bit few quid from it.
Yeah.
Did you ever see a Paul Newman film called The Sting?
No.
Or The Hustler. Dad, are you ever going to show it to him? It could be very interesting.
Yeah, we actually have a professional underling at the moment, Sean Cherky.
Oh, very good. Yeah, I've heard of Sean, yeah. Excellent.
He's freaking out a wee bit. This is in a year's time.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I have to ask the question. Have they played yet?
Yeah.
And how did it turn out?
Well, two of them actually played Scotch doubles. We were away in Armagh playing there a few weekends ago. And Sean and Jack were partners. Like, I think they were unbeaten that day, so...
Yeah. Very good. So, and I'm sure Sean's giving you some tips as well, Jack, yeah?
Yeah.
So you're going to keep the practice up?
Yeah.
Teachers in school must be really proud.
Hasn't been back yet.
Oh, I haven't been back. You're off this week, of course, aren't you, for Easter, so you'll be back after Easter. But will you bring in, I don't know, is show and tell a thing in schools around here these days, but will you take in the trophy for a bit of a peek? Oh, of course you will. Come on. I tell you that if I'd won a trophy when I was in school, there was no way that was going to stay at home. Yeah. Everyone I knew, everyone I saw was going to know I had a trophy. Thus speaks someone who never had a trophy, by the way. Jack, it's been absolutely great talking to you. Congratulations on the victory. We look forward to tracking your progress. I've no doubt Oisin and all his team in the sports department are going to be waiting to be saying the name Jack Dehan McVeigh frequently and often. On the sports programmes in years to come. And as Dad rightly said, yeah, I've no doubt Sean Sharkey is watching his back because hopefully there might be another pro in Donegal yet in years to come. Jack, congratulations. And Dad and Brian, who manages Donegal Juniors. Brian, I mean, from your own point of view, it must be, you know, something special when a talent like this comes along. You know, you've got kids coming through all the time. You're trying to nurture them. You're trying to help them. When you get a talent like this, I mean, it must be a boost.
It's fantastic for the club. It's great for the club. But not only was Jack, like, we had 13 other players there too. And every one of them, different age levels, teams, all done really well at the weekend. Donegal Pool started juniors only recently because of a club. Back in the day, Donegal Pool used to play at pubs and clubs. Wasn't ideal for young ones. So now CYMS have given us a home for Donegal Pool. And we can invite juniors in to play because it's a safe environment. And we have eight tables.